It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Have you stepped away from the ledge? Is all I can say. Welcome to the Tuesday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official. Let me welcome in my in-studio partner for today from McKendree University, coach of the Bearcats, the one, the only, Coach Henson.
Hey, good morning.
You like to be called Coach or Gary? What do you want to go with?
Doesn't matter.
It's all better than Jerry. Yeah. I know that's, well, that's the one that really gets you going. But
that one does.
I probably shouldn't have said that on air now. Some of your fans out there may call you, start calling you Jerry.
I hope they
probably
don't.
Probably not a good idea. Anyway.
They'll cease to be fans.
Well, let me tell you. We got it going last night, and I'm not talking about the Blues. I'm talking about our behind the scenes chat,
our little Twitter, our little text thing.
Yeah, I can't. You know, the thing about old Rivs though is you can never tell. You know, when you point something out, whether it gets him going or not, you can never tell if he's being serious with you. But I would say that we called it like we saw it last night, and. He takes a little, the old player comes out in him a little bit and gets a little defensive when you start calling out
guys.
Well,
you did.
Wait a minute. Just because I said he has been awful, and he has been.
Let's not start off on the bad note.
Hey, all I can say is this. Listen to this. Thank God Bortz picked everybody up. That's all I can say.
How about that?
Except for, I mean.
What?
Hey.
What?
Let me tell you something. The guy that may have single-handedly turned the whole season around by beating the piss out of Zach Sanford in a practice
one
day.
Oh, come on. I'm never giving him credit for that one. I still anti that.
Hey, but you can't deny it.
Well, I can't deny that it happened. I can deny that it was a turning point.
Well, it was something. How about that?
It was definitely something. But, you know, I give you that on Ribs. You can't tell whether he's really telling us to F off or not. I tried to soften the blow later by telling him how good he looked in his sport coat.
You did, and I also...
Because that was sharp. I'm not going to lie.
It was sharp. I am curious, on the whole thing, what he thought of your picture you sent this morning of the new flavor from Pepperidge Farms. Come on. Everybody likes a good Pepperidge Farm turnover, and you have come up with a new flavor called Alex Petrangelo Turnovers. These will jump off the shelves
first
in stores.
Of all, I didn't originate that. I just shared it.
Well, you obviously really liked it.
I thought it was funny. It's funny that now that they won.
But what you haven't done is you haven't sent it.
You did
send it to the group, but what you didn't do is you didn't say, can we use this for the cover art for today's show?
Well, that's not my decision, nor do I want to be part of that. But all right. I'm kind of pussing out a little.
You are.
I'm the one that stepped up when he started.
That's right. When he started defending him a little bit, you did send him some pics.
I did send some things.
Let's be honest. Okay. Let's be honest. Okay. The guy's not terrible. But he hasn't played well. And he wears your C and it elevates the level of frustration. I think you can be frustrated at guys for different reasons, but the reality of it is we are now in a 5-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With home ice advantage. And while we have been really good on the road and okay at home, the Sharks have not been good on the road. I don't know about you, but oddly enough, I feel pretty good. coming home.
Yeah, I like it. I think Matt Jones is ready to snap. I don't think he's a
snap.
I don't think
this he's is like a, an episode yeah. on like what is that channel?
I don't think he's an elite goaltender. I think Rives can address some of the things he mentioned last night about him. I think he's less than an elite goaltender, and I definitely don't think he's got the ability to carry this team. Knock on wood, carry the Sharks to.
You know what? I was going to say, did you just turn this guy into a?
No, I didn't. The stats are stats. You can't argue with math.
Oh, God. I was told there'd be no math.
Well, you can't argue with math. Let me tell you, to go about your frustration with 27, it's
wait a minute, whoa.
Our frustration.
I was going, okay.
With
thank
27.
You.
It's thank a you. Level of expectation. So let me put it this way. There are certain guys, now granted my team is nowhere near NHL level, but this is relative. I'm not going to get too upset with one of my players if he just doesn't have if the expectation of him is less than, or, you know, if he's not one of our more skilled guys.
In other words, if Bortuzzo doesn't score that goal last night, you're not as upset at him. But the reason Correct. You're upset with Pietrangelo is he's supposed to be an elite defenseman.
Right. My expectations for him are you are supposed to be the number one D. So you need to start acting like it.
Right.
And he's literally out of position. And that can't be argued. Yep. I can take photograph after photograph and show you how out of position he is. And then the guesswork he's doing on some of it, you know, like that turnover, that can't happen. It can't. It just cannot happen. And there's no excuse for it other than he's just nervous. Like I feel like he's nervous. He's overly excited. He's overreacting to things.
Do you think he's crying too hard? Maybe. Can you try too hard at this juncture?
Maybe. He's not thinking because I'm going to tell you right now. That second goal, obviously that puck should get obviously the Blues shouldn't turn it over at the blue line. Obviously that's going to create a problem. But I'm also going to tell you that obviously, and Kimby will back me up because I've heard him say it, when you are coaching D and teaching D how to play the game from the time they're 8 and 10 years old, 11 and 12, if one of the things you say to when you're developing D is if your D partner takes off with the puck, you have to make sure you stay back and that you're the last guy, which means there are no players on your team or on their team that are behind you. You learn that when you're young. That's number one. Kimby will tell you he wants a D in front of the net all the time. And he wants a D to stay back all the time. If I showed you the picture. Pietrangelo's joining the rush while Dunn's got the puck on his stick. So then there's a turnover, and now what? Who's behind you? Logan Couture. That should never happen. The turnover by 27 should never happen. Those things should never. You don't turn and blindly throw a backhanded pass across your blue line. Never, ever have you been taught to do that. Never has it been suggested in your hockey career that you do that. That's why I'm frustrated. All right. I think the Blues have a legitimate shot, but they have a legitimate shot if 27 starts playing like an elite defenseman, because last night wasn't.
Wow.
There you go.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful, and people can get mad at me or whatever, but that's how I feel about it. Rooting for him, obviously.
Well, here's your mouthful.
Okay.
BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. Find us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan, follow us. We'll follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook as we try to grow that community. Type in BluesNHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Invite them all. And when you see the pinned post, that's the show. Like it, comment on it, and share it. That helps us reach a larger community, and you guys have been great about it. Special thanks goes out, as always, to lineupmediagroup.fm for their continued support. And, of course, the Yo Radio app, newest and greatest, free. Download it for free on your mobile device. You guys will enjoy it, I promise you. Excited to announce that our friend Noel Buckingham, who kills pests, not penalties, although I wish he could play on the power play. We need to find – Noel's a big guy. Maybe he'll stand in front of the net.
What happened with that? Like, our power play was great when we weren't good.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So he's giving away tickets. More on that to come.
Whoa.
But, hey, as you can hear, the music. There's only one guy here that that can get that kind of music. And let's see. This should be an interesting conversation day. Let's bring in the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What do you say, Rivs?
Well, just like I thought, the earth isn't coming to a crumble. We're not going to be shot to death. We're okay here, guys. We're back to 1-1 in this series.
Well, the sun is up. You're correct. The series comes home and now puts us on a home ice advantage to where I don't believe the Sharks are all that great on the road. I feel good, but you've got this unbelievable knack for knowing when somebody's piping off about one of your boys, and you missed an epic rant by Hindu, and I get a text from you, let's go. It's almost like you can hear these things telepathically from across the universe.
Because I have everybody bugged. I'm always watching you guys.
He's omnipotent. It's amazing. So it let is. Me soften the blow by first saying, and I
texted. Soften what blow, Gary?
I don't know. So, and I texted you, what a nice jacket you had on last night.
I was going to say.
That was sharp, buddy. It got
Thank you.
There were several tweets about your jacket. I sent a private text to you.
Your game is on point,
and
for
your,
sure.
Your sport coat game is nails.
That was the rally jacket, boys.
Boy, the rally coat. Well, don't take it off, all right? I mean, for Pete's sakes.
That looked great, bud.
Thank you very much.
All right, so he softened the blow. Did you like his new flavor of Pepperidge Farms that he sent you this morning?
Oh my God!
It's Chirp Tuesday, man.
Chirp Tuesday.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Most people who don't have a clue.
I knew it was coming. We got big timed. I knew it was coming.
Got big timed. Golly, a guy can't even state the obvious.
Oh, my Lord. Gary had his ribs go. Hey, you know what? People are going to get a couple of things confused here. I say it all the time. You go to Adam's Smokehouse, you walk in with your buddy, and you say, hey, give me the brisket plate and a quarter brisket to go. And the guy goes, oh, you want the ribs, right? And then he grabs the other guy's debit card. That's the ribs, right? Well, also a ribs is when you stay up and watch the game three times after it's over and rewind. Henson did a ribs last night.
I did.
What? He didn't watch it three times. He watched one play and thought he was a genius.
Oh, no. First of all, I know I'm a genius. I don't think I am. And secondly, come on. First of all, the positives. Sonny scored. I like that.
What's that, sorry?
Sonny scored, and I like that.
Well, yeah, Sonny scores, but... listen, that fourth line has been good for us. They've been solid from the get-go. Craig Ruby has tremendous amount of confidence in those guys. I thought the fourth line had a great game. I thought the Bozak line had a great game. I'm still wondering about 91. I have question marks about how he's going to drag himself into this. And when he's going to drag himself into this. But, I'm willing to wait as long as the other guys can get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I know we're going to talk about the big goal at some point, but what do you think about the ice time the fourth line's getting? Would you like to see them get another minute and a half, 2 minutes of ice during the game? I would.
Well, when there's no special teams, I think it's pretty even across the board.
Yeah.
But... when the special teams come into it, it's pretty tough. I mean, Barbie, all three guys in the fourth line kill penalties, and they did a phenomenal job of doing that last night. The Sharks didn't really have much success at all, and which was nice because we had to do something in that department. But, I think if we can get them 12 to 14 minutes a game would be nice. But unfortunately, guys, that's going to depend on special teams and how many power plays or penalty kills they were dealing with that game. And that'll dictate pretty much how much they play.
The question of the day is, a lot of people want to know, can you decline a penalty like in the NFL?
In all my years, I don't think I've ever seen a penalty decline.
Would you decline it if you could and you were the coach at this juncture?
No.
No, I mean, look, I know I'm frustrated too, guys. I don't know. I mean, I kind of have some answers, but I don't know if they're ultimately the answers. And I think that, you know, the coaching staff is in a tough spot right now. I think that you kind of have to go with some of your big guns to hopefully pull them out of this funk. And you're hoping that, you know, a couple of those guys bang in a couple of power play goals or points, and then all of a sudden they're back to normal. The flip side of that is you keep going back to these guys and they're not having the success, and now it's kind of killing some of your momentum that you're building. So it's a tough spot to be in. I mean, the easy thing to say if you're not standing behind that fence dealing with it is, well, we just changed it. We're not putting 90 out there. We're not putting 91 out there. We're not putting 27 out there. We're not putting 57 out there. We're going to go with Barbashev and Sundqvist. And, like, that's the easy thing. That's the guy at the end of the bar who's had, you know, six or seven too many. He's the one that's going to be talking about doing that. But we all know that's not realistic. And, you know, so the Blues are going to have to figure out a way to get to where they want to be with some subtle changes so that it doesn't look like they're in panic mode either.
Well, you know, Rivs, I don't think the personnel needs to change. I think maybe the game theory or the strategy needs to change a little. And,
but you can't change the strategy with the current personnel, Gary.
Really?
You can't. So you're not going to develop a one-pass, one-timer, three guys to the net with what you've got on the ice right now.
So there's no way to get, I don't know, Parenko loose to where he's in a spot for a one-timer or something? Because, well, you know, Milbury touched on it a little bit last night about how aggressive the Sharks are. And so one of the ways to take that away, as you know, is the one-timer so that the puck's not on anyone's stick very long.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Parenko did get a lot more time. You know, unfortunately, it was after we gave up a shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that Alex Pietrangelo would like that playback, but I blame him for that, but I don't blame him at the same time because that unit has been doing that for the last four or five games. So it really could have been any one of those players on that unit making that play. How many times did Vladdy pass the puck through the middle of the ice last night to nobody and it just got picked off and went the other way? Like, so it sucks that that goal went in, but there's lots of other plays that happen, they're just not clicking. You know, they all have different ideas out there. They all look like they want to run a different play. For me, I would mix it up completely. I do like Parenko out there. I do think his shot brings a lot of value to it. I don't like him out there with four forwards because I think that his decision making still has some maturing to do. But I would love to see him out there with Vince Dunn and put Parenko in a one-timer spot. You know, I think that could be a good look. I also would love to see Robert Thomas maybe get to the ice first on the first unit. Tyler Bozak was phenomenal in the faceoff dot last night. You know, why not? At one point, I tossed around the idea. I'm like, why not just play the Bozak line with Dunn and Parenko for our first power play unit?
Well,
I know it's not fancy, but it kind of makes sense.
Well, and I know the Blues had the luxury of 16 on the ice when McKinnis was here, but, you know, there was a lot of success with 2D and being right-handed, and Parenko's right-handed like McKinnis was, and he obviously can get the puck to the net. He hit the post twice last night. So, I don't know. I'd just like to see maybe more of a conscious effort to get him some space where he can just keep releasing that shot.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to create that space too. You know, like Vince Dunn did a fantastic job last night on his goal of receiving the puck, continuing to move in one direction, and then at the last minute change the lane of the puck by, you know, releasing it from a different spot. And that's why that puck got through. I mean, if he just comes across traditionally and shoots, did it hit the shin pad?
Yeah.
So I think that Vince Dunn has done a great job of getting pucks through the net. And Colton Parenko, with the sheer power that he has and the fear that he's put into some of these guys, pucks are finding their way there more often than not. So I'm not saying there isn't something there valuable. There is.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, will they go there? Will they open that door and try to change it up that much? I don't know. I think something drastic has to change, but time will tell.
Since you brought up 29, that guy just, like, the goal is just an example, but there were two other times that game where he made similar plays and just missed. I mean, the one puck that went wide, I guarantee you Jones never saw it because he never reacted to it, and it barely went wide. I mean, it just missed the side of the post. And I'd like to, you know, like you said, guy does a great job of getting pucks at the net, so I'd like to see both of them on the ice.
I love Dunn.
You do?
I do. And I love how he takes every opportunity to run somebody to an open
ice.
He's
gotten tougher.
I know. I love it. I mean, he's putting a little bit of that element on there too. I mean, I don't know how Rivs, I'm sure, could tell us how important and vital that is to this moment in time. But I love that add to his game. I do.
Look, it's really important because, you know, you don't ever want to just be a one-dimensional player. You certainly don't want to be a player that people deem to be weak out there. And I don't mean like physically weak. I mean just like mentally weak and where they can take advantage of you physically. And he's not that guy. He'll step up and ring your bell. And I just think personally, I like his ability to carry the puck up the ice. He does a great job of skating out of trouble. And then from that point, he does a great job of turning it into an offensive zone entry. And from there, you never know. There's a couple of them last night where he gets right in on the goalie through the middle of the ice. And you can tell that they're not ready for it.
Right.
You know, you can tell that they're not ready for the Erik Karlsson treatment that they give to other teams.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that. And Colt Parayko is much the same. He's a big man, but he skates out of trouble extremely well. So these two are, you know, they're starting to shine at the right time.
Well, I know you touched on it a little last night, but speak to it a little more about the changes that the Blues made on the D and the D pairings last night. That paid immediate dividends.
Yeah, Craig Berube obviously saw something he didn't like, and he changed it up. And he put Jay Bouwmeester with Alex Pietrangelo, which they're old buddies, and they've played together for many, many different times, and they're comfortable together. And then he also decided to put Joel Edmondson and Robert Bortuzzo together. I guess you put the grit together, keep it simple and keep it physical. And then the duo that we just talked about, Dunn and Parayko, and I think he did that originally for a spot because Parayko was carrying the puck so well and moving it so well. I think he wanted to create more offense, and that was the route that he went, was putting those two together. And I think the other pairing just kind of fell in place after that. But it was another great decision by the Chief, who, you know, this guy, I've said it before, it's like playing chess with Bobby Fischer, right? Like, you just don't ever know what move is going to be the one that's checkmate.
He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. And so when you make those, when you look and see that the D have changed it up, how much money would you have bet that a play like Edmondson and Bortuzzo made would be like, holy crap, what a play. Like,
well, it's craziness, I mean, when you think about it. I mean, everybody, and our boy Kimby, and I think Bortuzzo thinks he loves to go off on him. And I understand what he means, because you have to know your role. But it was just great to see him make that pass to Bozak and then continue to the net. And, you know, we were describing it last night. I mean, that's the new NHL, where once you have puck possession in the offensive zone, there really are no positions. It's, you know, D-men become forwards become D-men, and you really try to confuse the defending team.
Right.
And, boy, did it work. You got the puck to Bozak. Edmondson got it back in there and then fires it down, and all of a sudden Bobby Bortuzzo looking like
Bobby Bortuzzo.
Such a sick
all
backhand.
He needed to do was fall through the air and throw his hands up.
What a sick backhand. But hold on. You know, right? What was even like the icing on the cake on that freaking play, other than obviously the icing of the goal, was that they beat Thornton. Like, Joe, like, you know, Bartuzzo just beat 19 in every way, shape, and form. And that's 19's guy that went to the goal. Because I'm sick and tired of hearing about how he deserves a Stanley Cup. That drives me nuts.
Don't they all deserve one?
He does deserve a Stanley Cup. He's played a long time, but he can get it next year or as a coach some other year.
There you go.
Hey, so I guess my question for you, Rivs, and I know your time's limited today, but my question is this. You know, as we, and I'm not going to say overanalyze anything because that's what this is. You know, it's supposed to be fun, right? Yeah. You know, and I know obviously.
And you are talking about you two, so there's probably not going to be any overanalyzing.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay.
Ouch.
I did it. You know, I did. I will say I did not do a Ribs last night. I didn't go. Adam's Smokehouse was closed yesterday, and I did not watch the game three times and rewind it. But I will say this: as we look at the general picture on the whole, though, you know, when you start looking at to your point, I'm not quite sure you can do a wholesale change up on the power play. Maybe, you know, you can argue that, but you probably have the most common sense answer on that thing, right? Like, it's probably not realistic. But no matter what you do, is the simple answer here, whether it's the power play, whether it's your 5-on-5 play, whether it's your top line that's not producing like you want, is the answer to this whole thing get more pucks to the net? Because in the end, I think this thing is won and lost because I think our goalie's a lot better than theirs.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys caught the post game show last night at all, but I went.
Of course, we did.
I did.
Well, it was post game with Uncle Creepy.
Well, hold on. Let him. Rivs has some seriously good information about Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Seriously good.
Yeah, I did a little digging yesterday afternoon, and found some stats that probably had too much time on my hands when I don't even have time. But still, Martin Jones. It was amazing to me to see his strengths and weaknesses. And this is going off of regular season and playoffs. And I'll just rhyme these numbers off to you. But in the high glove area, regular season, he was a .776 save percentage, which is
unheard of
terrible.
For an NHL goalie.
It's terrible
unheard
for an
of.
NHL goalie. Now, the postseason, he's .740, which is even worse. So... I mean, that tells me that pucks should be headed to the high glove as much as possible.
17.
And last night, we scored two goals high glove.
Yeah.
17 and 70 yeah. both go high glove. And but wait, there's more.
Oh.
You know, five holes. He's during the regular season, he was a .896 for all shots that he faced, five hole. And in postseason, he's a .878, which that's not a gold star either.
No.
So... You know, and then you think, well, wow, his blocker must be really good, right? Well, during the regular season, his blocker, the percentage was .940. Postseason, it's .883.
Right.
So this guy right now, all I'm saying is I gave you those numbers so that you could, you know, add it to what you just said, Cromer. Yes, we have to get more pucks to the net on this guy. And when we have the opportunity to load it up and shoot, much like Jaden Schwartz last night, I don't know if he had this scouting report. I would imagine he would have. But, you know, Martin Jones was at the top of the pace, challenging. He was out, and he just got beat high glove without any problem at all. So I'm thinking that more pucks to the net equal more goals with this guy.
Well, while I was watching the show last night and you brought this information up, I went back and looked. And if you look at Schwartz's goal, it's like they're holding the scouting report right behind Matt Jones because he is looking dead over his glove. I mean, there's no if and or buts about it. He's definitely looking exactly where he shot that puck. And if you look at Jones, his glove is lower than most goaltenders now. Most goalies
it's
have
slow to react.
Yeah,
which was crazy.
And most goalies have their hands a little bit more out in front of them than he does. His hands are more into his body and his core and his. But you know, we can all look at that. But yeah, Schwartz definitely is looking right there. So let me ask you this: so more pucks to the net, but then you've brought up the point and rightly so as to what Coach Berube likes to see as far as shots on goal. Like you mentioned it last night, like quantity versus quality, and he likes to see the quality of the shots. So do they go away from that and start just peppering him, or do they stay with that and just do like try to generate more quality, which essentially becomes quantity? But I mean, how do you go about balancing those two things?
Well, if I'm chief, I'm not changing too much here, because you don't want your guys changing the exact game that you put in place for the last few months that you've been extremely successful with. Now, if I'm chief, I'm telling the guys, you know, instead of that one more pass in certain situations, maybe take a look in the net and give it a shot. But, you know, if you watch the Blues, the way they control the puck, they do a great job of possessing it and wearing down whoever they're playing, and then they usually put themselves in a better scoring chance somewhere closer to the net. And I like that combination. I do think that, you know, a couple more pucks could get there, but I don't think we need to change strategy as far as, like, going back to the old Hitchcock days where funnel everything into the net, because, you know, you got Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, and these guys thrive off of transition. If you miss the net, if the goalie makes a save, there's a rebound, there's nobody around, and they get going and they can turn the puck up ice, that's going to kill you. Yeah. So you're funneling pucks to the net, which are really just breakout passes or transition plays for the Sharks, and you got to be very careful of that. You don't want it to bite you in the ass just because you want to try and put more pucks at Martin Jones just because Jamie Rivers said he's got bad gloves.
Well, it's hard. Like I said to Cromer, it's hard to argue with math. You know, the math is there, and hopefully the Blues can use that to their advantage, and I think they will. I just don't think Matt Jones can carry this team any further, knock on wood. So one of the things I thought in game one was one of the problems is something you just mentioned, which is the Sharks' D, especially Karlsson and Burns. It seems to me like in the first game we were chipping it in and trying to go and get it and stuff. And those guys are just too skilled and too fast and too good as skaters for that style, in my opinion. So I thought the Blues did a much better job in game two of holding on to the puck and trying to gain the zone with possession rather than with, let's say, a dump and I don't want to say dump and chase because you know what that brings up, but you know, more of a tactical dump. And I think the Blues did a better job of possessing the puck crossing the into the offensive zone last night.
Well, yeah, they did. But if you look back further into their game, into the transition, they supported the puck much better. They were 5, 6, 7 feet away from each other,
yeah,
which they hadn't had before. And so the previous game, you know, they were trying for home run passes that were either literally hit or miss. And when they were a miss, well, then you're creating transition for the opposition at that point because, you know, they get the puck and you don't have any bodies at all that are there to stop them from moving up the ice. And that's why the bad gaps happened in game one, is because you're moving the puck way up the ice from a position that's further back. And when the opposition gets it, now you have a tremendous amount of space to try and close out. And they're coming fast, so you end up where you can't quite get there. And so you end up looking like you're standing still. Or backpedaling so hard that you give this massive gap and give them opportunities. So to me, the big difference in the Blues transition and puck management yesterday was that they supported each other closer on the ice and they played that small area game, that little give and go stuff, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet away from each other. And I think that was a huge difference last night.
Yeah, absolutely. It resulted in Sonny's goal. And one other thing, and I think since we mentioned forecheck, it was mentioned last night. So Bennington decided to 50. I won't say Bennington.
Bennington. Well, yeah, Bennington.
So did you hear that he decided, he talked to his goalie coach before game seven.
Okay.
And decided to move the puck more. That's how confident and just calm this young guy is. Is he's just having, hey, what can we do? It's game seven. Let's make a change in my game a little bit of a tweak. And now he's out playing the puck, which totally neutralized Dallas forecheck and neutralized Dallas as a team, in my opinion. And then last, I don't think we saw it as much in game one, but we saw it a ton last night. And if that continues, it's going to play huge for the Blues the rest of these playoffs, because it already has.
Well, Bennington, he approaches goalie coach about that because Ben Bishop was doing such a fabulous job of cutting off pucks and distributing to D-man and just, you know, nullifying forecheck after forecheck. And so Benny was like, I need to add that to my game. And like, I can get out there. Now, certainly, he's not claiming to be as sound as Ben Bishop, but if you watch him in game seven, he clearly gets out there a lot more and just makes little passes to his D-men or guys available. And with that has come confidence now. And now he's no longer, like the first 20 games, he had ventured out of the net. It kind of looked like he was unsure of himself. And everybody's like, just get back in the net, you know, like, oh, my God. But now it looks like because he really wants to do it, like he looks more comfortable. So he's going back there and he's making a play. And worst case scenario, he's firing it hard and just getting back to the net. He's not trying to make a flashy little play if there's any doubt. And what was funny last night was we're on a penalty kill. Yeah. They dump it in. And, you know, he drops the puck. He catches it, puts it down the ice. He's looking for a D-man. Well, the D-man doesn't really open up for him. So he just takes it and on the back end does the old scoop and shovels it up to the neutral zone. I mean, we were laughing so hard. I was like, look at this. Look at Vinny go. Oh, Jesus. So it's always – but you know what, guys? You know this. For great players, they always want to add something to their game. They are never satisfied. So for Jordan Binnington, as great as he's been, that's one part that probably could improve, and he wants to get better at it. Now, the one thing I want – the last thing I want to bring up about Jordan Binnington was, did you see that play last night where – I forget which San Jose player it was, but he found number 62. So whoever that is, because I only remember the number. He found himself alone in front of Binnington, behind Vince Dunn. The puck dropped down right between Dunner's legs, and it took a bad bounce. And he had the puck alone, and he faked and then waited and then waited and then waited. And Jordan Binnington, usually the goalie makes a move at that point to, like, sprawl out or something. Jordan Binnington just stayed big and stayed pad flat and just kept shuffling really slowly in front of him. And the guy finally just shot it into his gut. And I'm sure the guy was thinking to himself, why did this goalie not even move? Like, it was like, I was watching it going, that's incredible that Jordan Binnington had that kind of patience and that kind of veteran savvy. To know that if he opens up one little bit, that guy's going to slide it there. And he didn't. So he gave him nothing. And then when the puck hit him, it literally he swallowed it up. So there's a lot more to this guy that, you know, we look at him making the save, but it's how he makes them sometimes that's so special.
Well, I got two very fast things I know you got to go. So number one, most importantly, so now I know how hockey players are. Do you have to wear that jacket now every show?
No.
You're going to change it up. Okay.
I'm not that crazy. Now, there are a couple of little things that I have been doing since these playoffs have started. They have nothing to do with clothing or what shoe I put on first or what I, you know, what product I use in my hair, which whatever's left of it. Just subtle things, but I'll keep those to myself.
Yeah, save them for
talk about
save them for the book.
Ruin their power.
Yeah, save them for the book. Save them for the book.
The book. He's getting bigger.
And I got to ask you this. Can you believe this Noel Buckingham's doing tickets for game six again in this playoff series? This guy's crazy.
This guy's a nutbag.
Yeah.
I mean it in the best way.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
I love it.
I am so happy to have him on board. He's exactly like us. Well, he got a little bit of a screw loose. I love it.
Well, I can tell you this. It's funny. We always say they don't kill pests. Or they don't kill penalties, but they do kill pests. But Noel's a big guy. Let's put some gear on him and put him in front of the net on the power play.
Maybe they can start doing power play. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, Rivs, I know you're busy today. Great stuff as always. My assumption is, based on the way the schedule's going to go this week, we'll all get back together on Thursday. And hopefully we have a series lead. But I know our fans appreciate you. SynergyHockeySkills.com. You guys obviously are filling up for the summer. We encourage everybody to go out there and check it out. Same old with that. Just make sure you get registered as soon as you can.
Yeah, just go to the website, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Register online and spread the word about the adult camp. We want this thing filled up. The skills, spills, and thrills. Synergy Adult Camp. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're rounding up some pretty funny guys to come on out and take part in it. So you won't want to miss.
All right, my friend. Well, hey, we appreciate your time. I'll plan on seeing you on Thursday. Take care of yourself, buddy.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
All right, the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. I don't know. Does it get much better than that?
No, it really doesn't. And I love sitting here and, like, with the limited hockey knowledge I have, and just kind of like bouncing what I think off him, and then hearing how deeper, how much more depth he can add to that.
For sure.
And it's just, there is, you know, obviously there's a difference between, you know,
you can say it. NHL, what I think and what he
what
thinks.
What I think and what he thinks, you know, definitely. And I'm okay with that. I definitely am. And, but I, you know, that's some of the stuff that I asked him to comment on today, or, you know, I gave him my thoughts, and then Jamie just, he takes it deeper, and the way he explains it, it just, well, it's really good, and it's really clear. And
let's be frank.
I really like listening to Rich.
Well, let's be frank. The one thing that guys like that can add to the equation that pisses some people off, and some people want to argue about it, but the one thing he can add to it is he's done it.
Yeah.
He's been there.
Yeah.
And we can talk about, and I'm not saying you had to have played to be you didn't have to play at his level to be a good coach, or you can talk about the game and do this. But the one thing that you add is, listen, I understand what you think and what you're saying, but let me explain to you how it really goes in the heat of the moment, on the ice, when everything's falling and crumbling down around you. So, and hey.
What I liked is he says, I agree with you. And then add.
Sure.
That, like, he doesn't ever make us feel like, other than when he's texting.
Other than in our text in the background. He's very cordial to the crowd.
He's super nice to us when the crowd's listening. But, you know, but that's cool. And he never makes you feel like you're a complete idiot.
Well, as you hear that, there's only one way for it to get better. Let's bring him in. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that signals something for you there. Oh, yeah, he's got his own walk-in music now. He's big time. I think we need to we got to change it, though, from because Stone Cold said so to because Kimby said so.
Those are pretty big shoes to fill there, boy. Aye.
Those are good ones, but I'm sure you can
do it. What do you got, then? If you're doing that for me, then what are you doing for the king of the media right now? Because it must be something special for him.
Oh, he gets the Imperial March from the Empire from Star Wars. He's the Imperial March for sure.
Did he have time to talk to you guys today?
We got on him a little bit. You know, he's wearing snazzy coats on the post game shows and making a little time for us. Hey, chastising us in the chats when we bring up the obvious. I noticed you didn't chime in there last night when it was Pepperidge Farms Petrangelo turnover night. I mean,
I know you guys were going well there. I know. I said if I get involved here, I'll be up all fucking night, and I ain't doing it. So
I mean, come on, you changed his last name to Kachuk, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it can't get any worse than that. Let me tell you, those texts are priceless. But so listen, I gotta ask you, you've watched two games now. The first game, I don't even know what to say. Let's just let it sit back there, I guess. But game two, Blues made a couple of adjustments, and then, you know, they just, for lack of a better description, had a rough couple minutes there. But your thoughts so far to this point of the series?
I think the two biggest things that I'm seeing right now is I love how the Blues are hitting people. I love it. It's going to pay off. I put it on Twitter, but it's just going to, if you keep hitting these guys and hitting these guys and hitting these guys, and, you know, because they're playing a good game of hockey, the forwards are banging up. Bortuzzo threw a nice hit last night. So you're playing a very good game. And then the second thing coming back, if I'm Craig Berube, I'm going to find out when Mr. Joe Thornton's hitting the ice, because I want my best players on the ice against him, because I don't think he's playing good at all right now, guys. I think he's on the ice every fucking time the Blues are scoring. So that's a good thing. But like the goal on Bortuzzo last night, he goes out to the point. He gets out of the way and Bortuzzo comes around him, and like, but he's on the ice all the time right now. So, you know, I'd be curious what Chief matches up against him.
Yeah, he got abused by Bortz. By Bortz and Edmondson.
Yeah.
Of all the people to abuse him. Like, they just, man, it was, literally embarrassing.
And Gary doesn't want to admit it, but that might be the second biggest moment for Bortz on the season. I brought up earlier that this whole thing started when he beat the piss out of Zach Sanford. And now he's scoring big goals in the finals. I mean, in the semifinals. I mean, come on, Kimby.
No. I love the first thing he did was I'm not a fan of that one. But I'll tell you the difference between game one and game two also is game one, our defensemen were, I think they were skating in quicksand. It was just, they weren't getting going, and they were They were slow as hell. And last night, except for the, you know, the couple minutes there that Petro started off with that giveaway, you know, and then the other one. But it's just, other than that, they played pretty well. So I think the forwards have a big part in that also. So they, you know, they come back, they help out, and I think they're going to have to keep helping the defensemen out, because the San Jose's got some, they got some scoring, and they can skate. So I think that's going to be the key to the whole series, how they keep taking care of their own zone.
I brought up earlier to Ribs, and I'll get your thoughts on it. You can analyze this thing to death. For me, because you can analyze it to death and it can get old and monotonous, and some things are realistic that you want to change as a fan, and some things aren't realistic. As Riff's pointed out, it's real easy to sit at home on your couch and say, do this or do that. But the reality at the end of the day is the way you win this series, in my opinion, after two games, is that we completely outclass them in net. I would like to see way more pucks thrown to the net with way more traffic in front. And I think if we do that, I don't think their goaltender's on the same level as ours. That's my opinion.
No, I agree with that. But, you know, the Jones character come in, and he started playing better here at the end of the season. So, he was – I agree with you the way Bennington's playing. It's hard to match up with that guy right now. But I still believe, when this is all said and done, that if the Blues – it's going to be all about the defensive zone, Chromes. I'm just telling you. The Blues are going to have to take care of that and help their defensemen out, which, again, they're helping their goaltender out. And, last night they score early – and they get the confidence going again, and it looked like the Blues of the last, you know, three months here going down the road, and they just had a different attitude about last night, and it was nice to see.
Couple of things, you're enjoying your time being back on the bench. You're an emotional guy. You like to make a statement and a point. I think sometimes, if you were on the bench right now and the other team took a penalty, would you ask if you could decline it?
You know what, though, and you guys, I agree, but I'll go back to Tarasenko, and I think he's got his fucking head. I think he's hanging his head, and I don't care what anyone says. And there was a power play last night in the first. I think it's the first period, and the power play doesn't go well, and you can see him skate from the far side of the bench over to his bench, and it probably took him 15 seconds to get over there, and he had his head down, and so I think Berube and these guys. And I'm sure Ott's in his ear now, but they got to get this guy going. It's just, he has to get going. And it's just, if they're going to win this whole, you know, get to all the way to where they want to get to, they're going to need this character. So, I just wish he'd get his head out of his ass here a little bit. And if you don't score, you don't score. The power play, don't score. You're playing good enough 5-on-5. You're winning games. If the power play comes alive eventually, it's just going to be a bonus for you guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I think they got to find a new place for him. He wants to be on the left side of the ice and start up high, get that pass, take a couple strides and rip it. And the time is just not there to do that.
I was going
to
say, is there a
– So, Gary, like, be an athlete, make an adjustment.
Can you or – and can be both. Is there something to being on that side? Like, I would think naturally, if you're left-handed on a power play, you'd want to be on your off wing. But
right,
he
side.
Doesn't seem to want to do that. No, is there? Is there, like, is it obvious to you guys that he likes that look going back to the far post or something? Or does he feel like he does seem to try to go five hole on that one too, or upper corner? Like, one of the two is going to reveal itself. There's got to be some reason why he loves that perk.
He's looking for two holes. He's looking for that short side high and the five hole. That's the truth of it. I mean, otherwise,
you're talking on a strong side when he's on a strong side.
Yeah, when he's on his left side.
Yeah, well, like when he's on the offside, when you're shooting on the offside, that's you have the chance, the opportunity, and you can watch Holly and these guys back in the day when they play the game. You know, your routine is to pull the shot in, and then you can still go. You can go to any angle of the damn net you want on your off wing. So, you know, that's I wasn't a big goal scorer. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling you, you go down there. You can pull it in. You can go far side, or you can go short side. You can go anywhere you want. On the other side, it's harder to get all that going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like I said, the only explanation can possibly be, is there some type of look he must like over there? I don't know what it is, but
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
And I don't think. And the other thing, and these are all just opinions based on what I would call just common sense. He obviously does not want to shoot a one-timer. Everybody tells him that, but he don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Gary, are you talking if he's on his off on his one-timer side?
No.
Is that the side that
no.
When he's talking, on, he wants to be on the other side.
He wants to be on his strong side.
Yeah.
And then what to me that does, it takes away the opposite side of the net. Like, it's yeah. really hard for him to shoot all the way across his body correct. To that far correct. Post. But, as you know, the short side now, with the way the goalies are on the post, the short side has become the new five hole. And so yeah. he's looking at that, and he's looking at five hole. And I'm not a fan of it. If he's obviously one of the best in the world, but I'm not a fan of it. I'm with you. I think he should be on his weak side so that he has – every bit of the net to shoot at. The angle is completely different on the other side, and every hole's available.
The only thing that I'm thinking, and I'm just throwing this out there, if he's on that side, but you can put, because if you're like what Chrome just said, he never one times the puck. So if you want to put someone over there, a righty over there that is blasting the puck or something, but I you know what, the way he's going right now, and get him, take him off the damn thing. get him off there. And, if you can get up in a game or something and a power play comes out and you're up like two or three goals, sit his ass down and say, here, we're in this whole thing together here. Get your goddamn head out of your ass and let's start playing hockey. We're trying to accomplish a goal right now that you don't get you don't get very many opportunities where the Blues are right now. It's hard to get there. And you're riding momentum. Everything's going your way right now. You're playing hard. You're working your ass off to create all these opportunities. You don't need someone dragging your ass right now. You just don't need it.
No, and I'm always going to struggle with somebody who refuses to change. Like yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. You said it. He is one of the best at the world at shooting the puck, all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is this. Don't you always have to be thinking of ways to improve your game? And, I mean, the one thing is I can't think of any of the greatest offensive producers in the game that, especially on the power play, didn't like being on the offside. Every yeah. great point maker in the league. You can start with Ovechkin right now. Lemieux loved to sit over there on the other side with his open face to the play. On the power play loves to be on that opposite side.
You just see the ice so easily, though. It just opens up more ice to you. You know what I mean? So it's yeah. That's why like when Lemieux was over there, but he's playmaking, but he gets to see the whole ice, and still he can one-time it from over there. Holly just used to go all over the place and just shoot the puck is what he would do. But, he could fire it from anywhere. He could. But you're right. The big guys would get over there, and if you want to one-time it, that's where you put your big boy over there and let him just go at her like Ovechkin does all the time. He loves that.
Yeah, and like Riv said earlier, we were talking about Bennington adding a piece to his game before Game 7, mind you. Of doing what Ben Bishop was doing, which is coming out and playing the puck and neutralizing the forecheck of the other team. So Bennington, 50 did an incredible job in Game 7 and did a good job last night. So we said that to Rives, and Rives said, well, like all great players, they're always looking to add something to their game. Well, 91, how about adding something to your game?
Yeah.
Not to turn this into a bash 91 podcast, yep. But that's the reality of it.
You're right here. You know what, guys? In real honesty, you're in the conference finals right now, so I don't know what the process is. You can't sit there, and like I said, you sit his ass down. Does that cause for more to the thing? It probably does, but you got to be careful at this point in time, because hopefully, this guy can start putting the puck in the net a little bit here, and it just it just makes our chances of winning this thing that much better.
I'll tell you what, if you're in Lucky Lake, Saskatchewan, they'll sit you.
Oh, they will.
They don't care who you are.
If you're at Granite City High School, they'll sit you.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I like the party where you can sit people, because that's what happened to me all the goddamn time. You didn't need an excuse to sit there, and that's the guy you go to, your go-to guy.
Well, at least you got sat. I started the game sitting.
That's because your dad was the coach.
Well, whatever.
You had the opposite thing going on. It wasn't no daddy ball for you. Am I crazy in feeling good about this thing? We now have home ice advantage. It's a 5-game series. I think our goalie's way better than theirs. Am I nuts for wanting to get my lawn chair ready to come and sit it down by your guys's? Am I jumping the gun there?
He almost said stupid, but he knew we'd attack that.
Yeah, and I don't know why you get to, my lawn chair is not down there yet.
You said about 2 months ago that you took your lawn chair back down there.
Well, I'm getting ready to set it up down there, yeah, but the way they're playing.
He hasn't unfolded it yet.
You gotta,
it's a bad chair.
You look at the playoffs, though, guys, in just in realistic form. Going on the road is, I think people are liking to play on the road more than they are at home, for God's sake, you know, except for Carolina. But everyone else, they get on the road, and I guess they get away from everything, and they play a different game. They play a simpler game, I believe, when you're on the road. And you watch the Blues last night. You play a simpler game. And, you know, you go out, you work your ass off, and the pressure's on the home team. So I wouldn't get too complacent here. I like the way that if the Blues come out and play like what they did in game two, I like that all. You know, it's good. But don't get complacent here at this point in time. You know, it's going to be hard. It's a tough – that's a veteran team over there you're playing against. And, you know, there's going to be a game that they come after you. So you got to be ready to roll.
So how the Blues win the next – how do they win four games? What do they need to do?
Well, I think they start the game. The start of the game is the key to the Blues. If they're ready to roll and they're on their game right from the get-go and they're jumping on their players and they're cycling down low, wearing the team out and, you know, creating scoring chances and getting that. And then because the goaltender back there is just playing fabulous right now. So, you know, you're almost going into the game a goal up because of the way he's playing. And – But the Blues game is get on their defense, keep hammering the shit out of them, especially Carlson. Keep hitting him, because he'll want to throw that. You know, Burns is a different game, but the smaller guy, keep hitting him because he's going to want to give the puck up. And I think that's what you're going to have to do. Just keep playing in their zone, cycling it, and as a team, take care of your own zone. Like, that, you know, the defenseman, the forward's got to be back there just to help out.
I'm going to ask you your thoughts on a great story I found about Craig Berube and Jeremy Roenick. But is this the time of year where it's unbelievable to have a guy at the helm like a Craig Berube who has demanded more of them and they've kind of tried to take on the persona of their coach?
I think so, because I think the whole part of the success the Blues have had, you know, besides the goaltender, you know, obviously don't ever forget that. But when Berube comes in here, it took him probably a month, and then he finally got these guys all to buy into this thing. And I think you see his reaction on the bench. You know, he's in Chiefs into the ball game, man. He's wearing his bloody heart on the sleeve. He's there. He'll do anything he can for players. I think he's sort of, if they screw up or whatever, he calls them out in a little bit of a way, but he's not going to throw them down the river, you know, and I think that's what players like. They don't want to be thrown down the river. And because if all realistically, he could have probably thrown 91 down the river already, but he hasn't done that. You know, he just says we got to keep getting him. And so he's doing all the right things. Everyone's playing together. So I is he the right guy at the helm right now? Of course he is. He's, you know, he's the winningest coach in the second half of the season here, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's a dandy. I know that you're friends with JR. Hey, have you seen this story by Travis Hughes from the Broad Street Bully SB Nation thing? Evidently, when Roenick first came in the league, he ran Hextall. And mm-hmm. and Holmgren was pissed, so he sends Berube out to get him, and he chases him around, and I'm paraphrasing the whole story. I just retweeted it. You guys can go read it. It's a great read. But basically, he finally catches him, and there's a big scrum. So everybody jumps in because they don't want Roenick to get killed. Well, come to find out, I guess a couple guys have Berube, but nobody has Roenick, and Roenick says in that split second it goes through his mind, do I hit him or don't I? And he hits him. So he says basically Berube chases him around forever. So when he gets to the Flyers, they had hired Berube to be a minor league like player coach, and the Phantoms locker room is connected to the Flyers locker room. So the Chiefs obviously comfortable, he says, and has been part of the organization for a while. So he says he just walks in the locker room as JR's getting dressed and he's just hanging out. And he says, Roenick says, he looks at him and says, hey, Chief, what's going on? And he goes, hey, JR, what's going on? And punches him and drops him to a knee. And as Roenick gets up, he says, I told you I'd get you. And then Roenick finishes the story with, believe it or not, we played golf together that day.
That's great.
I mean, that is the kind of stuff that makes this one of the best sports in the world. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
It's,
you know,
awesome.
When you do a job like Berube did in his whole career, and I did it, that part of that, there's one thing that you'll never forget something. You'll never forget it, because in playoffs, you get to playoff times or whatever, and instances where you can't take care of your business, and if somebody does something to you, you will never forget it. And that time will arise if you can hang around long enough, and you'll get to that guy. It's usually you get to it's a Hakuna Matata. It's coming back at you, you know. So,
hey, Revs. Revs has talked about this, but for you, how old are you, Kimby?
48.
Is he 48?
50 years old.
50. Oh, yeah, 50. That's right. Yeah.
You got any unfinished business left over? You're still looking for somebody?
No. I think I got all mine out of the way. I've been pretty quiet here for the last 20 years, so I'm pretty good now.
There's not one guy that if you ran into him, you'd be like, that son of a bitch, I owe him one.
I don't know if he owes anybody one, but I'll tell you, that whole I've been quiet for 20 years is...
you know what, though? Maybe somebody owes him one. Maybe somebody owes him one out there, and he needs to be looking over his shoulder.
That's true. I have firsthand knowledge that 20 years
is there somebody that owes you one that every time you think they may be around, you got to look over your shoulder?
I know there's a drunk guy in Chicago that wishes he would retire.
No, I think I'm all squared up. My deals are done, so I think I'm good to go.
Oh, my God.
He literally called that guy yellow. He goes, you're yellow.
he called.
That was great.
One of the first times I ever met him, he did that. Somebody was starting shit with him in a bar.
And then sang
Luke. And he called him yellow. You're yellow.
He called him yellow, shook him around, and then sang Luke in Back Texas.
Hey, you know who it was? You know who it was in the Granite Bar? It was Paul Barrington.
Oh, God.
You're yellow.
That's awesome.
That was so good. I think it was Rick Daly. I think Rick Daly, of all people, was the one that was pulling you out. Ah, come on, you don't want to do this.
That's some beef there.
Yeah.
I hung with Rick, though. But Rick, he got one time we hit a ball up onto a green in Arlington one time, and that was a calm. I hit it up there. I was proud of my shot, and I got in the green, but they were on there. And, you know, we were 240 yards out. And, I couldn't do it a fucking again. But Rick goes, they moved my ball when they were up there, and Rick didn't like it. And so he flew up there, and I had to pull him out of the goddamn heat. He went after the guy. I said, Jesus Christ.
Rick Rudabu is who Rick Daly fought that day.
That's exactly what he did. Yes, you're correct.
I was at the course. That was...
Oh, my God.
That was one of the greatest things ever. Man, hanging out with Kimby's fun.
Yeah, my story was at Bendy's. I'll never forget it. I don't know what... Paul Barrington's one of the nicest people you ever meet in your life. I don't know what... I don't know what the problem was that night, but I'm thinking, man, this is a bad idea. And oh, yeah. Anyway, hey, listen, great stuff as always. The fans love it when both you guys are on. Hopefully at some juncture here we'll be able to match up the stars and get you two back in the studio. Maybe I'm not even going to say why we should do it eventually, but I'll just leave it alone as I still have my chair packed in my car, and I'm ready to set it down and mark it with you guys. But great stuff as always, Kimby. We appreciate you coming to us. NelsonLandServices.com is one of the great families in St. Louis associated with amateur hockey. I know you're tight with the Nelson family. I know you saw that Stephanie is now working with the that St. Louis group that's working to help the kids that are playing hockey with cancer. She's a tremendous lady. I don't know if we can say enough about her.
Yeah, they had a big event there the other night in St. Peter's, and John Wenzik, who's known the Nelson family for a while, has got some of the Blues players out there, and anytime you can help that out is an awesome event. So we got a big week coming up here with the kids and all that. Their tryouts are starting for the AAA team, so they start on the 15th, Wednesday, tomorrow night. So we go 5 days in a row to see what we got.
I'm sure it doesn't surprise you that Stephanie would take on an endeavor like that. She's a tremendous lady.
Oh yeah, for sure, without a doubt. I've known him for 3 years, and you know, to get someone in there that's a go-getter like that, that's what you need to do. So that's you get the right person in the right spot.
Well, and that's why all we ask everybody is check them out, NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. And they do tremendous work, and I think they've earned the opportunity for your business. So especially if you're involved in that amateur hockey community, guys, give them an opportunity. Kimby, thanks so much. Looks like we'll be doing the show this Thursday, so hopefully we can get you either – I don't know if we can get you a day off, but at worst, we're going to get you back in the studio.
Yeah, I'm thinking next Monday, if we can queue it up and we can everything goes together at the right time, next Monday I think is my go time, guys.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Because you know your boy Rivs, even though he's big-timing us, he'll be making a trip over if you're going to be in studio. You know how that is. Yep. Hey, maybe we need him to wear his jacket over here. That'd be good. All right, man. Hey, thanks, Kimby. We'll see you next week, pal. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Okay, bye, buddy.
Yep, bye.
The one, the only, Darren Kimble.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't get much better.
I've been through some adventures with that man, and it's
funny stuff, man.
There's never been a boring time, I'll tell you that.
He is a dandy to play golf with, man. I've had a lot of fun playing golf with him over the years. He is something else. But you know what? We're fortunate. Two of the best. When we can get them both on, I know that our fans really love the show. So it means a lot to us. Okay, so you heard me talk about Noel Buckingham. Buckingham yeah. Pest Services, they don't kill penalties, but they do kill pests. But I like Rivers' thoughts. Let's put some gear on him. Let's put him in front of the net and see if he can pop a goal in or two. I'm sure he could do it. And you know, after the game, he'd be up for a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
So that's our boy Noah. But I say this all the time. He keeps losing his mind here. He is going to give away two tickets for Game 6 at home in the semifinals.
Crazy.
And here's the thing. It is the simplest contest in the whole world. It's real simple, guys. Okay? And I'm going to tell you this again. I told you this after the first one. I'm going to tell it to you again. Go to Buckingham Pest Services on Facebook. Like their Facebook page. Make sure you've liked it. Okay? You have to make sure you've liked Blues NHL Podcast Facebook page, too. So go to ours and like it. And then he's going to have a pinned post for the contest. You share that post on Facebook. And in the comments, like when you share it, make sure you type in three of your friends' names and get them attached to it. That's all you got to do, and share it. And you're registered. Now, just like the first time, the second time, he had a list of people that had either liked just our page or just his page. There was a list of people that had shared the post but didn't tag three friends. You got to do. Look, it's not like it's that hard, guys. We're talking about Game 6 tickets here, okay? Game 6 tickets. That's possibly a game that might send the Blues to the Stanley Cup. This should be the biggest contest he's ever run in his life. Buckingham Pest Services, like the page. Blues NHL Podcast, like the page. Go to the pin post on Buckingham Pest Services. Share it and tag three friends. And you're eligible. It's it. Piece of cake. All right? Stay tuned. Follow everybody on social media, and that's how you'll find out who won. So, and listen on the show. So great stuff. We're excited about Noel. And again, I'm asking you, everybody needs pest service. Give him an opportunity. He does great work. You'll enjoy him. He's a great guy. Fun. Great family. Him and his wife are tremendous people. Give him an opportunity for your business. They've earned it, guys. It would really mean a lot to us if you would give them a shot at your business. Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. They do box lunches, catering. They do deliver to certain zip codes. The atmosphere down there is all barbecue. The staff is tremendous, and I'm here to tell you, I always say it, I'm not going to lie, great barbecue in St. Louis. I know that other people say, if you haven't tried Adam's Smokehouse, go try it. I'm telling you, it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. And it's time to hear. He's been gone for a while. I'm real curious to get the thoughts from our friend Dennis Minner as Adam Smokehouse brings the Live from Minner report each week. Let's hear what Dennis has for us.
What's going on, Blues fans? Sorry, could not resist the music being played in the background. Forgive me. Let me turn that down. I was just sitting here still excited over last night. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena, brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Go check them out the day after a game, even a Cardinal game, and show them that you were at the game with your ticket stub, and you get 10% off of your bill, and let them know that Minner Arena sent you. Guys, we're over the hill. We are officially in the over halfway point on wins. Unbelievable big wins with Maroon a few games ago, and now Bortz last night with the play of his career. I mean, he had the game winner. He had 5 hits, 2 blocks, a +2. And then we've got Schwartz, who, I got to be honest with you, a few months ago, myself included, we were all screaming for the guy's head and said he's done, let him pack his bags. Then all of a sudden, he's got the hat trick, and then he has just been freaking on fire this playoffs. He's gone from lame duck to prime rib. Cannot say enough about. But, guys, this team is for real. I mean, just like this season, we started out slow. We sucked. I mean, every single one of us had pretty much written the Blues off, especially come January 3rd. But just like that, we started putting those pieces together. The same things going on that I see as a fan in this series. The Sharks have a very, very different style of play than what the Jets or Dallas do. You know, I can remember a few years ago we played them, and they were just hard-hitting cheap shots. We're not seeing that near as much. It's a team that's trying to use more speed and finesse. So, look, here's the thing. Every single period, I've seen this Blues team starting to figure it out, gelling more and more, just like we did in the season, and we're playing this team tighter. Look, we are winning. We won last night with absolutely horrific performance by some of our defense. Our power play, man, I guarantee the guys have already been talking about it, so I'm not even going to go into our power play. But look, here's the thing. We've got to continue to have our D. We've got to have them hold the puck, grab control of it in our zone. Don't be scared to think you've got to force it out instantly and cause that bad pass. Every single time we saw that happen, that's when we saw the Sharks come on the offensive and attack. And we saw it the first game. We saw it this last game. But all of a sudden, going down towards the end of the game, we saw the D starting to control the puck, not forcing the pass, and all of a sudden plays were happening. Look, just like you keep hearing the players talk about, they have this silent confidence. They're a come-from-behind team. But here's what I couldn't handle last night, all right? Two things watching me. And let me tell you, Mint Arena was pretty silent. I watched the game by myself because it was during the week. I didn't invite people over. Saturday night, we had a packed house full of people. I had an amazing time at our Game 1 watch party. But last night, oh, my gosh, it was like I could hear nails on a chalkboard. What? Milbury and NBC, suck it. Oh, my gosh. Sharks need to capitalize a few more so they can win this game. It's not that they weren't saying a true statement. It's the way their announcers say it. I don't know what it is about this dislike they have for the Blues, or maybe it's – I don't know. The Sharks, you know, the Sharks score, they absolutely go wild. They talk about how amazing it is. We get the lead back, and the response from Milbury is, oh. I'm like, serious? Blues should not be winning this game. Sonny scored, and I swear to God, I think Milbury threw up in his mouth when you just heard him say that play was slick. And again, it's just the way he says it just makes me cringe. For the love of God, let Panger do one of these. We're begging you, NBC. But let me address one thing, our fans on Twitter last night. Look, I'm not the most optimistic person in the world by any means. I consider myself a realist. But, man, I tell you what, Twitter was really pissing me off last night. The game was tied. We were not losing, and I saw people saying, we're done, we're, four and done, and people that I was shocked to be seeing. But just an absolute collapse of Blues Twitter. We all have that disdain in our heart for the Blues breaking it time and time and time and time again. But before we start flipping out and panicking, let's wait until we're actually losing the game and losing the series. But right now, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep on wishing, and I'm going to keep on dreaming. And you know what? I'm just that's it. I'm just going to continue having this song playing over and over and over in my head until we win. Three more games. Let's bring it back to St. Louis because now we have home ice advantage. So, again, go to Adam's Smokehouse. Get you some amazing food. Tell them Mint Arena sent you. I'm too excited. I am too pumped up from last night. So, guys, let's play some Gloria. And until the next time, let's go Blues.
Love, Dennis. Never going to mistake him for being unpassionate. I can tell you that. He's a fan's fan. He's having a great time with this. I know Adam Smokehouse is a place for the people, so no better place to do it than for the people. So speaking of people, nobody better than our friend
you know, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. I can't say enough about him and his continued support of our show. Folks, they do residential work, commercial, industrial. They've got the heating and cooling team. They've got the construction team, the electric team, all fired up and ready to go. The guy's busy, make no mistake about it. But he's been doing this for 35 years. He does tremendous work. And the fact that he is busy should tell you all you need to know. If he looks you in the eye and shakes your hand, it's going to get done. It's going to get done right. And it's going to get done just like you guys planned it out. So that's the guy to have on your side, especially for your bigger projects. That's your man, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, the name you should know and trust. You know, G?
Yeah.
We're going to come back here in a couple of days. And when we come back here in a couple of days,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you to prognosticate a little bit. Ooh. Are we up 2-1?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so, too.
I
think it's time for us to assert ourselves at home. And I think this is a prime opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like there's a statement game coming from the Blues on Wednesday. That's how confident I am.
Well, I love to hear that.
Well, and that Matt Jones just sucks.
You know, now that we've brought this up, he's going to look like fucking Grant Fuhrer.
He isn't.
Or Ken Dryden.
You always say that. I know. And the reality is,
I'm so tired of being a jinx.
Well, then stop saying stuff like that. Say the positive stuff. Don't say the negative stuff.
No, the positive doesn't work.
No, it does.
It doesn't.
Didn't you read The Secret?
Gary. Gary.
You should read
what
and watch
What more do
the
you
Secret?
Need to know? What I had Barbaro to win the Triple Crown, and he died.
Right.
I was with you last week. Or 2 weeks ago, I had Maximum Security in an office pool for $1,000, and he won the race and was disqualified. I'm a jinx. I'm not going to do it.
That's not...
I'm not jumping on board.
You have no effect or effect.
You know how many people are listening right now going, Gary, leave it alone. Let Cromer do his thing.
Get rid of that. All right, that stuff doesn't matter.
How about that story about Craig Berube and Roenick?
That is great.
And awesome.
Where did you find that?
Somebody had shared it. It's from 2014. It's an old story.
He went in there and punched him.
Went in there and punched him. Wait a minute, here's the best part.
If we ever had the opportunity to interview Coach, I would say.
I would ask him. Tell me about the time you popped Roenick. That would
be the first thing I'd ask.
Here's the part I left out. Okay, so as Roenick says, Grube says, hey, JR, what's going on? Boom, just slugs me, cracks me. He goes, I kind of go down to one knee, and when I get up, he goes, I told you I'd get you.
You know, and that's a big deal.
And they played golf later that day.
That's a big deal because JR says he's on multiple media sources, and he has said that he's got a steel jaw. He can't be knocked out. And he even references when Kimby punches them in that melee. But he did it on the Dan Patrick show. But now for him to say that he went down on one knee, Coach Berube's got a little lead in that fist.
I like Coach Berube. I think it's.
How'd you like it if that guy punched you?
I'm telling you, when I was standing, the way he was holding that podium, I'm just thinking, man, if this guy grabbed a hold of you, I say it all the time. You often wonder the effect a coach has on players. Like these players make a lot of money. They live their life. They do their thing. They're still brought up in that old school mentality, and you wonder how. Like, if they really sit there and fear a coach. And I don't mean fear like...
Well, I don't know if they mean fear, but I think they respect.
Not fear, but yeah. It's that whole thing like if we think it's really cool that this guy looks like he could still play and beat the shit out of somebody, you know, they got to be proud of that, too, as playing for him. So, anyway, just fun stuff. Having a great time doing the show with you. This is a... I know, you know, we've been doing this for years, just not in a podcast. And now we get to do it with a couple of great guys. So, I'm enjoying doing this with you, buddy, and...
Well, thank you. I love being here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Please don't forget us, though, bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there. You can listen to the show. Make sure you guys check us out on social media at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like the page. Click invite your friends. Please do so. It'd mean a lot to us as we try to grow this show. You can also find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. LineupMediaGroup.fm is where we're housed. We thank them for their continued support and growth of our show. To our friends at Yo Radio, download it for free on your mobile device today. You guys will enjoy it. It means a lot to us. To all of our partners, you heard me talk about InnovativeCompanies.com, SynergyHockeySkills.com, our friends NelsonLandServices.com, Adam Smokehouse, some of the best barbecue in St. Louis, our friend Dennis Minner does a great job, and of course, the great Noel Buckingham with Buckingham Pest Services, giving away 2 tickets for Game 6. He's crazy, but we love him because he's crazy. I love the fact that he's doing this. Remember the rules. Buckingham Pest Services Facebook page, like it. Blues NHL podcast page, like it. Buckingham Pest Services Facebook page, save the pinned post. Tag three friends. Once you've shared it, you're eligible. We'll be giving away the tickets here on his Facebook page, on his Twitter handle, on our show as well. Pay attention. You guys might be going to Game 6. Compliments of our friend Noel Buckingham. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.